Thank you, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, all last week we talked about it here on the show and on 720 WGN about the Department of Justice report that came out about the Chicago Police Department. Misconduct, scathing report, really, about some of the constitutional violations that the Chicago Police Department has acted upon. A one-year investigation for the Department of Justice. Tonight, Operation Push, a longstanding social justice organization on the south side of Chicago led by Reverend Jesse Jackson, had an informal discussion about the findings in the report to bring to constituents, to bring to people of the neighborhood. Mike Fouché was there from the Daily Line. He joins us every Wednesday. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to be here.
And also Richard Wooten was there. He was actually on the panel. He was a retired officer and CEO of Gathering Point Community Council. He joins us tonight. Mr. Wooten, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so what happened tonight? What was it?
So actually, it wasn't convened by Operation Push. It was held at Operation Push, okay. But it was convened by Dorothy Brown, the clerk of the courts. And it was an interesting panel. I think they kind of pulled it together pretty fast. It was only really in the last week or so. You had a couple of state legislators, LaShawn Ford from the west side, Mary Flowers from the south side. You had... Lori Lightfoot, who's the chair of the police board, was there. A couple gentlemen from African-American Bar Association, the Cook County Bar Association, which is an African-American Bar Association. And then the other was the National Bar Association.
Yes.
Which is also an African-American Bar Association. You also had Deputy Chief Wilson. Larry Wilson. And then, of course, Richard Wooten. I think that the intention of it was to be a question and answer period where people could make statements and it will ask questions, but it really devolved pretty quickly. You know, I think some of the panelists made speeches, and then the audience just took a cue from that and it just went on. So, I mean, you know,
Mr. Wooten being up on stage, what was that like to be a part of that?
Actually, you were pretty restrained, but, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, but it was me. It was my time where the young lady just broke out.
Yeah, yeah. A woman
didn't break out on anyone else. But when I get up there and I have one sentence left,
right.
Boom.
Well, you were the poor last guy.
Right.
You were the last soul to go up.
And she was fed up.
It was really about the people who came out to the event. They wanted. They definitely wanted to be heard.
Yes. You know, I think what the initial premise of this whole thing was to kind of educate and inform the community from a lawyer standpoint,
right,
what the report was all about, and then move from there into more of a, you know, next meeting, maybe a think tank type situation.
Right. What can be done? Kind of
what
thing.
Could be
yeah,
done?
Right.
But this meeting today, it didn't really move in that direction. But however, you know, there is still hope that we will be able to reemerge and actually have the think tank put in place.
And I think, though, that, you know, it's important to say there were about 120 or so people that were in the room. It wasn't that people were unruly. It's that they're frustrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could tell there's a lot of anger and frustration that people have. And a lot of these people, clearly, they feel powerless. And they feel put upon.
So it was people saying, this happened to me. This is something that
wasn't
talked about.
Yeah, a lot of personal examples. Yeah. I've been beaten. My husband was shot and killed, you know, by a police officer. You know, a lot of those kind of stories. And, you know, that was hard to hear.
Mm-hmm. As a former officer, you know, to have that kind of – to feel that frustration coming from – especially after a Department of Justice report like that, what's your thought on that?
Well, you know, the Department of Justice report, you know, is a mirror image of what the Chicago Police Accountability did with their report. If you take the Department of Justice report or label and just put it on the task force findings –
same thing.
You pretty much go get the same thing.
Yeah, right.
But what we see is that – today, people were really frustrated. They were frustrated because it's almost like the same song and dance.
Right.
You know, well, you guys are just study talking about stuff, but nobody's talking about doing anything. Well, where's the justice? But what people don't realize is that the justice is not going to come overnight. You know, this whole DOJ report is going to take some time for the department to work its way through it. So if we're looking for an overnight, you know, change, it's not going to happen.
You know, so this is actually something that I've been reporting on at Daily Line, which is this morning we reported, or yesterday afternoon we reported, that the mayor's senior staff for public safety is completely turned over. They have a brand new group of people. In fact, the senior person in charge, Janie Rountree, left on Friday, the day of the report that it was brought out. And there's also I have on very, very good authority, although the mayor's office denies it, that the corporate counsel, the main guy, Steve Patton, who negotiated this with the DOJ, is going to be resigning in the next week or two.
Really?
So, you know, there's a lot of changes going on in the mayor's office, and these are the people
that
would
be
setting.
Yeah,
these are the people that would be setting the policy. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're openly talking about
it. Let me ask this. You know, as the Department of Justice report comes out, we in the media sort of scrutinize it. It's all over everything on a Friday right before the holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. We come back. What is the takeaway now? What is Chicago sort of projected on this? Is this that the police officers on the ground, on the streets, are just not equipped? They're not given the resources. What's the takeaway now that we've been able to sort of digest this for a couple of days?
Well, you know, it's been laid out perfectly by the DOJ that our department is operating behind the time. Chicago has to come up to speed. They have to move up into the 21st century, not only with the hiring practices, not only with the policies and procedure, but also with the training, which is a very critical piece in how officers perform their job on the street. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, some a report that kind of gives support to what the Chicago Police Accountability Task Force was saying.
Mm-hmm. But, and officers know.
Yeah, and they also know.
Right.
So, you know, and that's, I mean, but, you know, again, the report didn't give us anything that we didn't already know. You know, so what are we going to do? The question is, where do we go from here? You know, we have now a federal agency who has actually, you know, signed, sealed, and approved and said, boom, hey, this is a problem. Now, what do we do as a community? Because when you talk about the consent decree, it makes no difference whether we got that or not. In 1972, the African American Police League, they won a federal case on discrimination. And in that court order, there was a set standard that was put in place that the city was supposed to follow. To this very day, it has never been enforced. So when you got a consent decree, it doesn't matter what that paper say. If no one is actually behind it and pushing it, and when I say no one, if the people in the community that it serve is not pushing it, it doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be business as usual.
There seems to be in the report, and this is something that, you know, Mike, you and I have talked about for a year, but just this concept that, yes, the Chicago Police Department is definitely under-resourced. It's ill-equipped. Its training is way behind. But a lot of the instances and examples that are talked about in the DOJ report or the accountability report are straight up, you know, egregious. You know, there are officers doing things that may be considered racist. They may consider too much excessive force. Things that don't necessarily line up with the idea that, okay, this is, you know, if they had better training, they wouldn't be racist. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, the question to me is
that actually came up the meaning
no,
tonight.
But I mean,
the
that's the question to me is like, what's the relationship between the big ticket takeaway of this DOJ report and the examples that we see in the stuff that makes everybody sort of, you know, when you take the examples out of that report?
You know, I mean, again, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, because unless the department is truly committed to transformation, first of all, you got to look at the budget. Do we have it in the budget to really, you know, upgrade the Chicago Police Department? In the 1960s, O.W. Wilson came to town and he had a blank check. He said, hey, they gave him a blank check. Say, hey, do what you got to do to bring the department up to the 20th century. And he brought the department up to the 20th century. Guess what? Do we get a blank check today?
Yeah, well, right. It's already a $1.6 billion organization.
Right. You know, so
it's a little different than it was in the 1958, 1962, I guess is when O.W. Wilson came in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mike, what do you see? I mean, is there a way that something like that can happen, that the mayor's office
absolutely.
And the Chicago Police Department says, all right, this is what we need and we're going to get it?
Yeah, it can happen. And I think that it's going to mean more taxes is what it really comes down to. I mean, we're talking about a hundreds of millions of dollar ticket. I mean, we're going to need a brand new police academy. It needs to be twice the size that it is, literally. We're going to need many, many more training, people doing training. We're going to need a lot more different equipment. We're going to need somebody who is going to be combing through the processes in the department, making sure that the hiring processes work well, that the promotion processes work well. That takes a lot of time and a lot of money, and it's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of the years. That's going to require the city to bear down.
But, you know, we have to look at now, is it going to be worth us actually paying that hundred and something million or continue to pay over $500 million in lawsuits?
In the last 10 years.
In the last 10 years, right. So, you know, we have to make a conscious decision here. So when we're talking about increasing taxes,
right,
we're talking about, you know, 5 cents or 7 cents now for a paper bag when you go to the store.
Right.
You know, all these things, you know, it has an effect on the common person. And until the common person understand why all this stuff is going on, you know, they're not going to be happy one way or another.
Right.
So,
you know, Richard, something I want to ask you about is that one of the things that came up a lot in the report was the issue of the contract with the FOP, the police union, and that there are a number of things that are required in the contract. And essentially, in a lot of ways, it seems the police union has made a business out of defending the worst of the worst. That if you do something truly horrible as a police officer, the FOP will be there. That they're your sort of final insurance card. I'm curious how you, as a former police officer, right, and your colleagues feel about that.
Well, you know, FOP is doing what they get paid to do, defend, you know, police. But however, when you have a contract that has been put together where violations of people's constitutional rights are actually, embedded in it, it's only meant for specific officers. It's not meant for the
officers.
A small
subset, right.
Right, exactly. It's meant to actually protect the worst of the worst. And when you have the worst of the worst being protected, that puts a shadow upon the good officers that's out here doing a job every day. In 2017, the contract is up for negotiations. Mm-hmm. And we keep on talking about the FOP. FOP can't make a contract on its own. It has to have the approval and the support of city council.
But what about the leadership of the FOP? I mean, do you think that there's the leadership of the FOP definitely seems to have decided that this is what they're all about, which is defending you if you do something truly horrible. You know, is that
going to
change?
But the FOP is an elected position.
Right. That's what I
mean. And the body within the police department are the ones who decide that. So if the officers decide that they want new leadership, then they have to make that decision.
Is that something that could happen? Is that a realistic thing?
When you look at the number of officers, you know, Caucasian officers versus African-American officers and Hispanic officers, I don't think it'll change.
Right.
You know, because the numbers just does not match up. And that's one of the reasons why we're talking about the unfair hiring practices. So when you look at the unfair hiring practices, maybe now, within 5 to 10 years down the line, it may make a difference. But right now, it's not going to make too much of a difference.
Richard Wooten is a retired officer and the CEO of Gathering Point Community Council. Mike Fouché joins us every Wednesday from the Daily Line to talk politics. You know, the takeaway question, and this is the one that we threw out last week, and you know, it's going to take forever to answer this, but how do you effectively police in 2017 without violating constitutional rights? I mean, at the core of this DOJ, I mean, even from sweeping corners or telling kids they can't hang out together, I mean, at a certain point you get to this, and we talked about this, Mike,
right,
that these are things that police officers have used, even though, yes, truly, quote unquote, they violate constitutional rights. How do you effectively police by not doing that?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to get community more involved in policing their own communities. If people in the community began to take more of a control of their own public safety interests, you know, such as dealing with the quality of life issues. You know, quality of life issues are one of the quickest things that can get a police officer engaged in negative policing, because a person may feel that they're offended that the police officer is trying to tell them, hey, stop drinking on the street. You know, hey, stop hanging on the corner. But when a community began to engage and parents began to tell their kids, no, get up off the corner. Tell your kids, hey, you know what? Come in the house at a certain time. When a community begins to police itself, it releases more of that burden off the Chicago Police Department to where they can deal with more serious crimes. So it's not all about the Chicago Police Department. Community has to take a stake here, and they have to take ownership. I was talking to a group of my people earlier about trying to reestablish community hubs where people in the community can have their own facility where they can deal with the quality of life issues, where they can report, community concerns, where they can go to without having to go to the police station. We have to release a lot of that pressure off the police department until they can get themselves in position to be properly trained, to be properly managed or supervised, I should say. So we can't look for the police department to be the sole source that brings safety into our community.
Mike, one thing we've talked about in this program, and it shows up as well in both reports, is this idea of accountability. And we've seen more, I mean, there's been so many instances and examples of police officers in wrongdoing and not being punished for it, whether it be, you know, suspended or put on desk duty or, right, or what have you, or all the way down the line to what we see, you know, with off-duty police officers shooting civilians.
Officer Lowell Hauser, actually.
And this is my point. My point today, we see the new state's attorney saying we're going to charge an officer with murder, with first-degree murder, not to mention, you know, what we saw with Jason Van Dyke and Laquan McDonald. Are we is this part of the change where officers are more accountable, so they may be in a situation where, I don't want to be pulling my gun if I'm not on the duty that my neighbor and an argument. And
that's a great question. Mm-hmm. I mean, the officer Lowell Hauser was arrested today for first degree murder. You know, that seems like a major change. It's rare for a police officer to be charged with a felony. And I think that's a big change. I'm very curious, Richard, you know, how do you see it? Do you, by the way, know Officer Lowell Hauser?
You know what? The name sounded familiar, but it wasn't the same one that I knew in Englewood.
Okay.
But, you know, this quick, you know, move to justice is what is actually, it's going to set the stage for all future actions by officers on duty and off duty. So this is saying that the system has found the error of its ways and is trying to work now to ensure, you know, that they move in the right direction. So with Kemp Fox did, her office did, you know, that's what they're supposed to have done.
How do you think the police officers respond to that? I mean, it seems to me, between what we're talking about with the FOP, defending the worst of the worst, and, you know, former state's attorney Nita Alvarez totally resistant to charging any police officer with anything. Mm-hmm. How do you think police officers feel about that now?
Well, you know, I mean, one thing police officers hate, they hate change. But we know in today's time we must change. So if they have an issue with it, then they're probably part of the problem. If they don't have an issue with it, then they're doing right by the people in the community. So if I don't have an issue with it, because I know that right is right, wrong is wrong. And if you are a person who get upset because an officer get charged for violating a crime that we actually get out here and we charge people with, then this is not the job for you.
Especially first-degree murder. I mean, that's pretty high on the list,
exactly.
Right?
Well, there's a lot to talk about, and we'll have to have you back. Richard Wooten is a retired Chicago police officer and CEO of Gathering Point Community Council. Mike Fouché joins us every Wednesday here to talk politics, of course, with The Daily Line, thedailyline.net. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.